Welcome to our service for the fifth Sunday after Trinity. As I tried to indicate on the CD case, the theme today is the gathering of the Holy Communion, and you may wish to have some bread and wine beside you to eat and drink during the hymn after the address. It's the communion hymn, "Amidst Us Our Beloved Stands," and I'll be saying more about it later. But we begin our service with Timothy Dudley Smith's gentle meditation on the relationship between God and the soul of the individual. As water to the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as song time and springtime and summer time to be, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. And so to our time of penitence. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many sons are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Here is the reading, which is from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, My Lord, if I find favour with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk, and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is your wife, Sarah? And he said, There, in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to the end. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the death of Christ I live. from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The centrepiece of our service in the churches this morning is the hymn Amidst Us Our Beloved Stands, and in church it will come at the place of what we used to call, before COVID, the offertory hymn, but has now become the hymn of preparation when we prepare the Lord's table for the communion. I'm conscious as I write this address for the online service that some of you are not able to access Holy Communion at the moment. Nonetheless, I thought I should share these thoughts with you, and perhaps also remind you that if you'd like me to bring you communion at home, I'd be very happy to do so. And to say again, as I said at the beginning, that if you'd like to have bread and wine with you, you might like to take them in the hymn that follows this address. That hymn is especially appropriate for the moment in the service where we set the gifts upon the holy table. What food luxurious loads the board when at his table sits the Lord? The wine how rich, the bread how sweet, when Jesus deigns his guests to meet. One morning not so long ago at Llangrannog Church, the church warden Wendy had put on for us before the service a CD of 50 Welsh hymn tunes prepared under the auspices of our local chapel minister, the Reverend Carys Ann Lewis. I should say not Welsh hymn tunes, but tunes to Welsh hymns, because I heard this tune playing, which is actually American, it's called Arizona, and it's difficult to find. If you listen to the hymn Amidst Us Our Beloved Stands on YouTube, for example, it's never to this tune. But I was introduced to it by my late friend and mentor, Nigel Swinford, of whom more anon, and I fell in love with both the tune, but more especially the words. The words to the hymn were written by the Baptist minister Charles Harrod Spurgeon, usually just known as C.H. Spurgeon, who was perhaps the greatest English preacher of the Victorian era. His selection of biblical meditations, morning and evening, is still well worth using for your private prayers. His hymns, to be honest, don't really bear comparison with his preaching, but this one is an exception. It evokes something we rarely meet now, a deeply felt meditation on the Holy Communion from a Reformed perspective. We tend to think of the Communion as especially precious to Catholics, whether Anglo-Catholics or Roman Catholics. And today, in many of the most modern evangelical and charismatic churches, The communion seems not to have a very important place. But it wasn't always so. One of my teachers at Theological College was Bishop Stephen Neal, who was born in the year that Queen Victoria died. He'd tell us how much he missed the sense of awe and reverence in the evangelical communions of his youth. This hymn is in that tradition. For Spurgeon, the gathering of the Lord's people around the Lord's table is an awesome thing. The very first phrase in the hymn is crucial. Amidst us. Amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his pierced hands. Spurgeon thus evokes the scene on that first Sunday, the day of the resurrection, when we read that the risen Christ came and stood among them, came and stood among his disciples, and showed them his hands and his side. I wonder what shape you would build a church in, if you could build a new one. Of course, the most usual design of our churches is rather on the model of the temple at Jerusalem, with the altar at the far east end, its holiness emphasised by its distance from us, by its inaccessibility to everyone except the priest and those who serve at the altar. But in Spurgeon's imagination, the risen Christ is in the very centre. Amidst us, our beloved stands. You can build a church with a shape based on that understanding. The Roman Catholic Cathedral in Liverpool is one famous example which you will all know, where the altar is in the centre of a building shaped in the round, as we say. I mentioned earlier my dear late friend Nigel, who was brought up in one of the shades of the Plymouth Brethren, as was my wife, Jane. It was there, I'm sure, that he first encountered this hymn. Unusually, for so Protestant a denomination, the Brethren held the Holy Communion, or the breaking of bread, as they more commonly called it, in very high regard. It was their morning service every week without fail, long before the parish communion movement in the Church of England brought communion in to replace weekly matins. Most Brethren meeting rooms, they were not called churches, were simply that, meeting rooms with chairs in a circle. There was no pulpit, for example. And in the morning, at the centre of the meeting, they were called meetings, not services, at the centre of the meeting was a simple table with a simple cloth, and on it a real loaf and a real cup of wine. Doesn't sound very Anglican, does it? But in fact, it speaks to the original Anglican simplicity of the communion, a simplicity which we have perhaps lost. Listen to the instructions for communion from the Book of Common Prayer, the foundation of our Anglican doctrine. The table at the communion time, having a fair white linen cloth upon it, shall stand in the body of the church. You can hear that this is not a permanent fixture, not a stone altar. It's just a table, whose purpose, for this time, is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And as regards the bread, the Book of Common Prayer envisages that some kind of pattern will be used, but in fact says, it shall suffice that the bread be such as is usual to be eaten, but the best and purest wheat bread that can conveniently be gotten. Simplicity is the key. And the point of this simplicity is that the eye of the worshipper shall not be distracted by any of the trappings of communion, from the central figure of Jesus Christ, who gives the meal its meaning. Christ is simply present in the midst of us as we gather round his table. That is the Lord's promise to us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amidst us our beloved stands. Notice that for Spurgeon, as for the Book of Common Prayer, this is definitely a table, not an altar. The sacrifice has been made once for all. There is no need to repeat it. This is a table like the table in the house of Simon the leper, still the place of gathering where Jesus meets face to face with his sinner friends. But although in Spurgeon's imagination this is not an altar where a sacrifice occurs, the sacrifice of the cross is still at the very heart of his understanding of the love feast of communion. Amidst us our beloved stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to the wounded hands and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. The crucified Saviour comes to stand among us, just as he came that first Sunday, showing the wounds of his hands and side. And why? What is this for? Why, just so that we would truly see him, truly come face to face with him, so that we may receive his grace and mercy, receiving for ourselves the benefits of the sacrifice of the cross. The worst thing that could happen would be if we come to the Lord's table, but do not come face to face with the Lord. This is Spurgeon's interpretation of 1 Corinthians 11:29. All who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves. If now, with eyes defiled and dim, we see the signs but see not him, oh, may his love the scales displace and bid us see him face to face. God has shone in our hearts, writes St. Paul, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One day, at a greater banquet, we will see him face to face. And it is that glorious hope which the last verse of the hymn expresses. Thou glorious bridegroom of our hearts, thy present smile a heaven imparts. O lift the veil, if veil there be, let every saint thy glory see. It is the truth that Mary of Bethany knew, the Mary of our gospel reading today, who sits in rapt attention listening to Jesus, knowing that though the house might be falling down around her, there is nothing more worth doing than seeing Jesus face to face, being with Jesus and listening to him. She'll show it again later when she anoints him before time for his burial. She knows that the costly ointment she uses is not being wasted, because she knows that there is nothing, literally nothing in the world that is worth more than the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice by which our salvation and the salvation of all the world has been achieved. Sunday by Sunday, as he comes again to stand among us, we do this in remembrance of him. Amen.
Amidst us our beloved stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to the wounded feet and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. What food luxurious loads the board when at his table sits the Lord? The wine how rich, the bread how sweet, when Jesus deigns his guests to meet. If now with eyes defiled and dim we see the signs but see not him, oh, may his love scales displays and bid us see him face to face. Thou glorious bridegroom of our hearts, thy presence smile heaven impart. Remove the veil, if veil there be. Let every eye thy glory see.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Martin. We begin with the Lord's Prayer in the language of our choice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Entad renoitin yn efoedd sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas gwnelod y wyllus, negis yn y nef fechli ar y ddeiar hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n unna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofed i gaeth, eitha gwared ni thrag drwg. Canis eitho ti o'r dernas, ar nerth, ar gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we pray to you this day, may we believe in our hearts that for you all things are possible. Help us to have faith in your power to bring the freshness of new beginning and new life into the stale atmosphere of oppression and despair, and the warmth of love and reconciliation into the frozen cold of anger and hatred. May the transforming power of your Spirit work among us and through us today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the Church, we pray for our sisters and brothers throughout the world who acknowledge your presence and power in their lives. We pray for those who are laughed at or victimized because of their faith in you. We pray that you will give us strength to be true to our faith when it is questioned or belittled. We pray for our church and our community and for a renewal of our vision and dedication to the work you've called us to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all nations, we pray for the needs of this world. We pray for those nations where communities are broken by prejudice and hatred, where the fear of violence is never far away. We pray that where human endeavours to find peace and reconciliation seem so inadequate, your power to draw people together will bring renewed hope for the future. We pray for those who have knowledge and power in the fields of medicine and science. Let them not be corrupted by greed and ambition, but grant them wisdom, integrity, humility, and compassion to use the knowledge that they've gained only for the good of all people. Throughout the worldwide community of nations, may there be a sense of responsibility for each other and a desire for equality and justice for all your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray for all those who are suffering with anxiety, stress, grief or pain and illness. Long ago, a woman believed she'd be healed if she could just touch the clothes of Jesus. May we today believe that if we pray to you for those we know and love, your healing power will also flow into their lives, bringing wholeness of body, mind and spirit. Grant us strength in our weakness, comfort in our worries, peace of mind in our anxiety and stress, and the renewed hope for life which only your presence and power can bring. We pray this for ourselves, for those who are dearest to us, and those for whom our prayers are asked. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of time and of eternity, we remember those who have died and are now with you in your kingdom. We thank you for the communion we share with all those who have gone before us, and pray that our lives may reflect on earth the light that surrounds them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, be present among us this day, and may the transforming power of your Spirit work in us and through us today and throughout the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And to finish, a Celtic blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you. This day and always. Amen.